Because I know some of you are still hungry. Just a little exhortation to help somebody in your Christian journey with a title, very unusual title, that I titled the exhortation, "What If It Is True?" What if it is true? Truth is relative, but truth is an English word that makes us understand what our God is doing, who He is. So, what is truth? In John 17, verse 17, Jesus Christ was praying for His disciples.
Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
So what is truth? The word of God is truth. When you receive the Holy Ghost, John chapter 14, verse 6, this is who Jesus is before we talk of the Holy Ghost.
Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me."
So, what is Jesus Christ? He is the truth. And he said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Make you free. Truth. In John 18, verse 37 and verse 38, John 18.
Pilate therefore said unto him,
when they brought him for him to be crucified,
"Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth."
That you should bear witness unto what?
The truth.
Unto the truth.
Everyone that is of the truth.
There are some people that are of the truth.
Heareth my voice.
They hear his voice.
Pilate said unto him,
only that statement.
What is truth?
What is truth? Now we know what truth is. What if it is true? You know, there's a song that children, mostly children singing in the children's school, where it says, "Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me." Then he said, "The Bible tells me so." It's the Bible that tells him that Jesus loves him. And he believed it. The Bible says the fool says in his heart, "There is no God." So, my first statement I want to say is, what if it is true that there is God, there is a creator? What if it is true? As we live our lives, we're hearing all manner of things. We're living our lives. Many of us just know, "I was born so-so day." The next day people will know about you is the day you die. Is that all? What if it is true that there is a God, is a creator? As Psalm 100 verse 3 says, Psalm 100 verse 3 says, what if that is true?
That the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture.
You did not create yourself. Certainly, there is a God somewhere that created you. There is a creator somewhere that created you. You say your mother gave birth to you is by a law that was established, released by a creator. It's a law of creation. It started from somewhere. What if that story is true? What if it is true that the Bible is actually the inspired word of God? As the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, what if that statement is also true? What if it is true?
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
What if truly everything you read in the Bible was inspired by God? Again, what if it is true, and this is a very big question, that there is life after you die? That you do not cease to exist when you die. You are only transferring from one realm to another realm. What if it is true that life continues after you die here? What if that is true? I want somebody to think, what if it is true that as a place of abode, that there is a place called heaven and another place called hell, where people will dwell there. The life after death, what if it is true that when you die now, you will either go to heaven or you will go to hell? What if it is true? Now think very well, think very well. What if it is true? Let's keep asking again. What if it is true that the story of Sodom and Gomorrah and the story of what happened in the time of Noah actually happened, and that it will happen again on this earth with the fire? As the Bible says in Luke chapter 17 from verse 26.
And as it was in the days of Noah,
as it was in the days of Noah,
so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold.
They were living their life as if nothing will happen, as if nothing. Alive, let life continue. Let's enjoy ourselves, enjoy ourselves.
They planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained
fire came
and brimstone from heaven,
okay,
and destroyed them all.
Destroyed them. What if this story is true? And what did he say?
Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed.
What if this same thing will happen again when Jesus will come back to judge this earth? What if this story is true? And what if it is truly because this earth will be destroyed that God sent Jesus Christ to express his mercy on those who will believe that it is true? Because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and verse 10, Apostle Paul said this:
For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered
from what?
Us from the wrath to come.
From what?
From the wrath to come.
The anger of God that will come. He sent Jesus to deliver us. This is all that is the gospel. This is all that is the gospel of salvation. And that is why in John chapter 3, verse 16, what did he say?
God so loved
the world.
That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
What if that is truly the reason that Jesus Christ went to the cross on Calvary? Now this is a very serious statement I'm making for somebody to meditate on existence generally, life generally. What if it is true that Jesus Christ hung on the cross as a means by which he will save us? Maybe that is the reason why in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 and verse 16, he told us to go and preach that gospel.
And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
Can you see? Damn, condemn. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Like Noah was saved in his time. Like Lot and his family were saved and destruction came upon this earth. He said it will happen again. But this time in Sodom and Gomorrah, he sent angels to pull out his elect from Sodom and Gomorrah. This time now, he sent his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pull us out from the rot that is coming, upon the earth. What if this is true? What if truly there is Christ and he has an enemy called Antichrist? Like the Bible said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 and verse 19. What did he say? Read it up to verse 29. Let's hear what he said there.
Little children,
listen very well.
It is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, mm-hmm. even now are there many Antichrists, uh-huh. whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Mm-hmm. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. Uh-huh. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us.
Read on.
But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Uh-huh. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Uh-huh. Who is a liar? But he that denied that Jesus is the Christ, mm-hmm. he is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Uh-huh. Whosoever denied the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son, uh-huh. hath the Father also. Uh-huh. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Uh-huh. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life.
He promised us what?
Eternal life.
Eternal life. Uh-huh.
These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you.
You see the importance of the Holy Ghost? You see the importance of the Holy Ghost? Go ahead.
But the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. Uh-huh. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence.
Hallelujah.
And not be ashamed before him at his coming.
And verse 29.
If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him.
And if I will ask this sincere question, what we just read now is a summary of the whole purpose of our sermons, of our preaching, of the work of the ministry for the servants of God, the ministers in our midst. Nothing more. And the question I ask, and let's sit down, even God himself said, come, let us reason together. Let's reason together. What will I lose if I accept Christ here on earth now? As a Christian now, what will I lose? And some of us can confidently tell you one thing. Everything that we pursue on earth, it is because we are looking for peace, joy, happiness. That's the whole reason why you look for money. So that what you need will be provided. He told his disciples, say, ask that ye might have joy on earth here. Pray so that you will have joy. So whatever we pursue here is to have peace and joy. But let's face it, truly speaking, that the only thing that brings true joy is a life in Christ Jesus. Since we don't know what awaits us when we die, since we don't know what we shall face when we die, oh, glory be to God. Is it not wisdom that since there is a faith that promises better life after this life, is it not wise that I get myself yoked to that? It's simple. Apart from the peace you will enjoy on earth here, something is awaiting us there. Like the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, is it chapter 2, verse 9? 1 Corinthians.
As it is written,
imagine this.
Eye has not seen nor ear heard.
Imagine that.
Neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him.
We have this blessed assurance. He said, believe in God, believe in me also. John 14, read it from verse 1.
Let not your hearts be troubled.
Yes.
Ye believe in God.
Believe in God.
Believe also in me.
Believe also in me. Jesus was saying,
in my Father's house are many mansions.
Many mansions.
If it were not so, I would have told you.
Hallelujah.
I go to prepare a place for you.
Uh-huh.
And if I go and prepare a place for you,
uh-huh,
I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be
if
also.
I believe this, that is a promise. I don't know whether it is true or not. There's even another promise the Apostle Paul told us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. What did he say?
For we know.
We know.
That if our earthly house.
This human body is our earthly house, not your house at the Jibo. Not your house in the village. Not your house. That house that you dedicated last, when? Prophet Joseph. That's not the house they're talking about. Uh-huh.
For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle we are dissolved, we have a building of God.
If this house with Gorimakba and everything, where they decay every day,
we have a building of God.
There is another better body that is waiting for me.
And now it's not made with hands.
Now. If I don't know whether it is true or not, but what if it is true? What if it is true? Why am I gambling with my future? Therefore, accepting Christ to me is like insuring your car against theft, against accident. There is even life insurance. In case you die, your children have something to balance themselves. Before village people will come and trouble your wife for Nigeria. It is an insurance. It is life assurance. When you say blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Then he said, oh, what a foretaste. There is something ahead. There's a glory ahead, a divine glory ahead. That assurance. I am here, the life I'm living now is a foretaste. There is a glory that is awaiting me because I am a heir of salvation, purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. I am purchased of God and I'm born again of his spirit. And all my sins have been washed away, washed in his blood. That is the premium. You can imagine this type of insurance. That the premium was not even paid by me. And I am eternally secured. Grieve not the Holy Ghost, whereby you are insured, sealed until the day of redemption. Didn't Jesus say that? In John chapter 10, verse 24.
Then came the Jews round.
Listen to this insurance. Listen to this insurance. Yes.
And said unto him,
uh-huh,
how long does that make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life.
Insurance.
And they shall never perish.
Insurance.
Neither shall any man pluck them
insurance
out of
insurance.
My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all.
Can you see?
And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father.
No man. No man is able to pluck me. What? Out of his hand. Which other insurance am I looking for? Since I don't know what will happen if I die, is it not wisdom that I hook onto an assurance I have of what awaits me when I die? Why are you risking yourself when you know you must go to either heaven or hell? Who do us this day like this, human beings? How can you live a meaningless life? All you know is just today, 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 today. And if you know there is life after death, how are you preparing for yourself? How are you preparing for what awaits you? For it is written that is appointed unto man, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, once to die. After that,
judgment.
Judgment. Once you die, because every human being will give account of himself before God. Every human being will face God. Every human being. Every human being. Every human being that was born on earth here, whether you're a Christian or you're a Hindu or you're an atheist, including those who say there is no God, those foolish people, ooh, every one of them will stand before your maker and give account of what happened on earth here. Every one of us. He said, brother, I'm far from the Savior today. Risking your life for the things that decay. Oh, if today God should call it away, what will you give in exchange for your soul? Oh, yes. What would you give?
What would you give?
That every human being should always take time and take a retreat where you reflect on life generally. Not only reflect on your achievements on earth here, go beyond that and see what is the purpose of existence. What is my purpose for my creation? Why was I created? It is the answer to it that will define how you will relate with your maker. Brethren, what if it is true that truly one day we will stand before our maker? What will the answer? What will your answer be? The Bible in Romans 6:23 says something. Romans chapter 6, a popular scripture.
For the wages of sin is death.
The wages of sin is death.
But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Can you see the wages of sin for the soul that sinned? Your reward is die. Die there is not this one where you die and they bury you for here. It's total annihilation, complete separation.
Amen.
Your body, soul, spirit, everything destroyed in the lake of fire. But there is a gift of eternal life that God gave through Jesus.
Amen.
Why are you joking with that? Why wouldn't you want to get that gift? It's free. You don't work for it. Free. Just come. Just give your life to Christ. That's all. Listen to him. If you listen to him, he's the truth. He will lead you to all truth. He's not a liar. He's a liar that denied the Father and the Son. Any religion that says Jesus is not the Son of God, the spirit behind that religion You know where it is now? It's a lying spirit. And if you not allow the Son to take complete control of your life, you are also denying the Son. Because the purpose for which he came to the cross on Calvary, you are not ready for it to take effect in your life. You are also denying him, though you are going to church. You are holding Bible. You are among those that the Bible says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of true God. How do I know? It's by the life you live. You can't know God, some of us, and live the type of life we live. Holding Bible, going to church. You know it. You know what I mean. You know it. You know what I mean. So what has it profited you? Your knowledge of who Jesus is. Peter, what has it profited you? You know that Jesus is the Son of God, and yet you are denying him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I remember the story of that Jesus Christ spoke in Luke chapter 16 from verse 19. The rich man and the Lazarus. I remember that story very well.
There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus.
Who was he?
A certain beggar.
That means he was a poor man. To survive, now waiting people go give him. We are not supporting poverty. Listen to what this story is saying. Yes?
There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table.
So you can see why he was poor. He was sick. Wounds all over his body. So certainly he could not do anything for himself. Maybe he was so sick with sores every time, flies all over his body. Nobody could help him. So he had no office, he had no job, no strength to go to farm, nothing. So it is what people eat and give him that he takes. But as the story goes on, let's read.
Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores.
Can you see his condition? It must have been a seriously helpless situation.
And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried.
Now listen, for angels of God to come to carry Lazarus, it means even in his poverty, he did not deny God. Even in his estate, he still recognized God. He didn't complain. He didn't curse God. He didn't go to steal. Even in his estate. And that story is for somebody. Now listen, the rich man also died. What is the emphasis? What did they say?
And was buried.
Now that he was buried here, it means he's talking about the big ceremony that accompanied his burial. That is the story of the rich man. Everybody was celebrating. The grave itself, they put a condition for inside. The coffin was made of gold. They took him for lying in state from town to town, from stadium to road march. The whole town, the king, the president, the prime ministers, the commissioners, the ministers, the who and who in government and the kings, they were there eulogizing him. He was a great man. He was a great man. That means Lazarus, nobody even remembered his burial. Maybe they just take him, make enough for smell, put him for one hole, cover him. But angels came and took him. Oh, glory be to God. That is the death of the righteous. That is the death of the righteous. That when I die, angels will come and collect me. And no demon can resist that. Hallelujah. Now, the story continues.
And in hell, he lifts up his eyes.
The rich man, while they were here celebrating him, because the rich man had no time for God. That is nothing more than that. It's not because he was rich. His identity is that he was rich. And the way the story is put, it means his wealth was his God.
That's right.
What shall it profit a man? You gain the whole world and lose your soul. Now he died now. Where is he? In a place of torment. Every unbeliever that dies. Everyone. In short, listen to my statement. Anybody that dies without the Holy Ghost, you are going to a place of torment. What if it is true? Not, see, these days, I hope I have taught you enough in this church. You are not a Christian because you belong to a church. You're a Christian because you belong to the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. How do you become a member of the body of Christ?
For by one spirit are we all baptized into one
body. That is what we are stressing, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You may be a member of the church called Bride Assembly Church, but you may not be a member of the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. See why we're emphasizing it? I said it yesterday during our consecration. In case there are ministers here who didn't hear me, and wherever you are around the world, and I'll continue to emphasize it. And when I go to the camp again, I will tell those again who may not have heard it, that you are not a Christian. Listen, Romans chapter 8, verse 9 made it very, very clear. That statement there, the last statement there. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Listen, salvation is by faith. Everything we receive from God is by faith. Forgiveness of sin is by faith. Listen, there is a way these motivational speakers put it that create the confusion. Say with your mouth, believe in your heart, you are saved. Hey! It's dangerous. If you don't apply that statement, it's dangerous. Because the same scripture says, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will do something. You have come to him. Has he done that thing? If you come to me, I will receive you. How do you know he has received me? How will I know that I have come to him and he has received me? Some of you are born again by the will of man, not of God. That's what John chapter 1 says. Verse 12, what did he say?
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born.
You are born.
Not of blood.
Not by your papa and your mama blood.
Nor of the will of the flesh.
Not the will of the flesh.
Nor of the will of man.
When you said the will of the flesh, you didn't just decide and say, now today I am born again. Nor what?
Nor of the will of man.
Not any pastor pronouncing you born again, but what?
But of God.
Of God, by the will of God. There is a process of God that will make you to be born again. And people don't know why we are taking so much time to evangelize and to hold this Holy Ghost program. Brethren, I said yesterday, I spoke to my brother who has a little church somewhere here in Lagos, a pastor. And I quickly told him, I said, you will look at me now and you will say, oh, your church has thousands of members. Therefore, Your reward will be great in heaven. I quickly told him, listen very well. My reward will be determined by the number of people that I have led to Christ and they received eternal life. No minister will go to heaven because you had 500 branches. No minister will go to heaven and occupy a big position in heaven because you have millions of followers for Facebook and YouTube. No minister, listen very well, and I was not being humble. I am a revelated preacher. I am a Christian that have taken time to study the process of redemption. That is why I speak confidently, and that defines the way that I relate with God. You think that I am foolish, Abby? 1st of May this year, Pride Television will be how old? 13 years old. And we have spent almost 1 billion naira for evangelism. And I don't have private jet. Even all my cars are Tokumbo. Okay. There. And my mansion. I don't have mansion. That house, when I come my village, you can't see. Now when I did Air Force, 1985, now I build that. Okay. Though I don't refurbish them, so if not, I go break down now. Imagine what I would do with 1 billion naira. What did Isaiah, is it Isaiah 52 verse 7? Is it Isaiah 52 verse 7?
How beautiful upon the mountains, at the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth.
How beautiful upon the mountains at the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that preach the gospel. And Proverbs chapter 11, and verse 30 and verse 31 says something.
The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life.
Now listen, there are two things. I emphasized it yesterday evening. Let me re-emphasize this for those of you who don't even follow. You are members of Pride Assembly Church, but you are not bothered whether you have the Holy Ghost or not. And there are many of them here. God told me by himself that some people are not participating. He told me. And why he told me is for me to truly know the composition of the church. Okay. That means it's not everybody that wants to go to heaven. That is the reason why this message came up. I was meditating on it. That is how this statement came up. What if it is true? Why are these people joking with your lives? What if this thing we are preaching is the truth? That is what inspired this message, this exhortation I'm giving now. That there are people, members of this church, that are not participating. He even showed me some faces. Yeah, he does that for me every time. So that I will understand this mystery of redemption. And I have one grace. I will know what you are doing. I will look you. It's a serious grace. I will look at you and say, I don't know what you need to do. But I will come to the pulpit and say it, hoping that one day the thing will strike you and you will change. And take this eternal destination more seriously. This man talking to you knows too much that at the end to end up in hell. None of you said God forbid. None of you said God forbid. Whether you say God forbid or not, I will not go to hell. I will never go to hell. Nothing will make me near hell. I don't even want to pass that street. Want to die, angels will come and pack me. The way they packed Moses. The way they packed Elijah. The way they packed Enoch. The way they packed Jesus. And everybody saw him going, I want to be in the rapture. I am thinking of the rapture of my blessed home on high.
When the reading
of God reading,
I will raise a heavenly anthem in a city in the sky.
When the reading
of God
reading,
when the reading is a pastor. That church is blessed. If that old man is converted, that's why it's a mystery. All these old Jews, they are busy acquiring. Plus, use scripture for 19 people. Bring all your first fruit. Bring this one. Bring all this. All the things they do to collect money from people. Plus, arranging testimonies, arranging prophecies to make them look big. I always say, do they believe that they are going to give account of what they are doing to their maker? Don't they believe that very soon they will die? You are closer to the grave than these younger ones. Why are you not helping these younger ones to let them stop the nonsense they are doing in the Christian faith? It's because you yourself, you don't believe there is help. Why are you deceiving yourself? You know what you are doing. You know where you belong. You are an old man. God gave you opportunity to repent. Kept you. You are so old. And you are still alive. Don't you know that he's giving you opportunity to repent? So at this my age now, I'll be joking with my Christian life. Which can't cost me that. I will go for deliverance. Please, anytime you see me going one kind, Pastor Lu, bundle me, tie me, take me to the mountain, remain there, no food, no water until I'm delivered. This heaven, I must go. Swing low. Swift chariot
coming for to carry me, oh,
sweet Lord.
Please finish the story of Lazarus. There's something I want to emphasize there.
Verse 23.
Yes.
And in hell, he lifted up his eyes.
The rich man now in hell now, he lifted up his eyes. What did he say?
Being in torment.
Now he's in torment. Now he's remembering that so this thing where they talk now true. What did he say?
And seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me.
Oh, so you know, say Abraham are your father. Then, why did you not follow the faith of the fathers? Go ahead.
Have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water.
There is no prayer that will be answered again after you. No purgatory. It's appointed once. Rich man, now your judgment be that. It cannot be reversed. The mercy of God ends after you die. When you breathe your last breath, that is the end of mercy. Mercy is available as long as you are still alive. He said, mercy is offered unto you.
Hallelujah. It is only that you and me.
Look and live. Close your eyes and die. Bow and you will still die. I preach that message, bow and burn. You bow to the precious. They say if you bow, you will not die. But the truth is, if you bow to the system of this world, you will burn in hellfire. That's a fire that is awaiting us. Finish reading it.
Have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that I may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.
Hey, rich man. Rich man, they torment. Okay, now.
But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in the lifetime received.
When you were alive, you were enjoying yourself.
And likewise, Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented.
Can you see?
And beside all this, between us and you, there
between heaven and hell,
there is a great gulf fixed.
There is a gap, is uncrossable.
So that they which will
light
pass
and darkness cannot come together.
So that they which will pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that will come from
so
thence.
So this is where they talk. You're wasting your time. There's no purgatory.
Then he said, I pray thee dear for father.
Okay, since I am lost, I have brethren outside. Go ahead.
That thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren.
I have five brethren. And now you know your family. Okay.
That he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment.
Do you know that why he quickly said to them is because all the members of his family, they will want that type of burial they gave him. So they too, they will pursue money. So he has seen they will not have time for God. God is secondary. So that they too will be known. Because they are going to name one stadium after his name. After him. I'm saying this openly now. There is one church that the tabernacle, the church, is at Egbeda. Their pastor died sometime last year. And they changed, they even changed the name of the ministry or something. The name of the church now. The church building is named after the pastor. Elijah Edede Igbo Tabernacle. If I die, don't put my name on any structure. Nothing like that. If you do that, angels will cane you, because I will be frowning wherever I am. Don't put my name anywhere. When you come to heaven, you will see where I occupy. See where I occupy. When people don't know anything about salvation, they'll be dying for things on earth here. They want to immortalize his name. So how does it affect him where he is? Somebody is in hell, you're immortalizing him here. Even if he's in heaven, there is no connection between the living and the dead. You don't finish.
Verse 29. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets.
They have preachers. He said they have me.
Moses and the
prophets. They have me and the prophets in Bread Assembly Church. Where are they? And the other prophets as preachers.
Let them hear them.
Are they hearing me now? See, the man said you have Moses. Oh, Moses is talking again here now. Oh. My name now Moses. Oh, and they talk him again. Oh, you will not hear me now.
You have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham.
Now this is where I am going.
But if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him,
what did he say?
If they hear not Moses and the prophets,
if they will not hear Moses and the prophets,
neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the
even
dead.
Even if somebody rises from the grave. And why I want to emphasize this, in John chapter 1 verse 18, see this statement that Jesus Christ said.
No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him.
The only person that came from God, he has come to tell you who he is. They believe him. They don't believe him. In John chapter 16 verse 27, and verse 28, hear him again.
For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God.
What did he come from?
I came forth from the Father, and I'm coming to the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father.
And they saw him when he left and went. But did they believe him? The one that came from God himself delivered the message and went back to where he came from. Did they believe his message? Now, when person die, you come now, go believe him. They don't believe Jesus. They didn't believe much. They will not believe anybody. They are here now. They are listening to me now. What if that message, what I'm even saying now, what if it is true? You want to ask yourself, will you be among the foolish virgins or the wise virgins? The difference between the foolish and the wise is that the wise took their lamp with oil. The foolish ones did not carry oil. The oil there is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth. It's the one that leaded you to all truth. The Bible describes him. Jesus called him the Spirit of truth. John 16 verse 13. He is the Spirit of truth.
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come,
he's the Spirit of truth. What will he do?
He will guide you into all truth.
He will guide you to all truth. What if this thing we are saying is the truth? And one of these days, you come to church and you look for certain people, they will not be in the church. I didn't finish that statement for the pastors. Your members, maybe 2,000, 3,000 members, revival, everything is going on. But there may be only 3 members that have received the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost. Listen, before the whole world, you have a big church. But before the whole world, before God himself, you have only 3 members. Did somebody hear me? Because as far as God is concerned, the members of his own church are those who have received the Holy Ghost. You may be thousands, pastor of a big church. That is why I say, stop looking down yourself that your church is small. Make sure those numbers receive the Holy Ghost. Thousands may be gathering. How many of them belong to the body of Christ? How many have received the Holy Ghost? That is why in this church, our emphasis is receive the Holy Ghost, because everyone that received the Holy Ghost is a crown on my head. How can I know that and downplay the baptism of the Holy Ghost program? When the bridegroom cometh, by and by, where will be your position? When he will come, do you believe? What if what we are saying is the truth? Listen to the choir, they want to tell somebody something.
Oh, be ready. Oh, be ready. Ready when the bridegroom comes. Oh, be ready. Oh, be ready. Ready when the bridegroom comes.
Time.